Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this study of Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, titled Philosophy and Vain Deceit. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin this study of Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, titled Philosophy and Vain Deceit. This is part 1 of 2.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we could come together. Had a real good time in the open Bible study this morning. And we thank you for the work that Steve and John are putting into that. And we thank you for the fellowship. It's really more fun than should be allowed by law. And we thank you for the time that we can sing these songs and pray, really pray for people. Pray for people who have needs. Intercede. And then to come together and open the Bible and really study. It's just a blessing. I pray that the folks who are here really understand the blessing it is. And those who aren't able to make it, we pray for your mercy upon them, whatever is keeping them away. We just thank you for this book. And without this book, we would be as spiritually blind as the world in general. Everything we know about you, we owe to this book. And so we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and our guide. I pray we'll all really enjoy this time in your word as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, current events update before we get into the book. I just wanted to show you this. While the world's making a hero out of this guy for kneeling at the during the anthem during NFL games, and then there's others who are doing it too. Yeah, that does look like it'd be a problem, but... these guys, you got to understand something. This social justice thing, most all these guys fall into the camp of people who really hate God. And they love death. And they make their millions and they spend their millions killing. I'm not kidding you. I'll give you an example of a guy that I'd put him on a much higher level talent than Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon or Stephen Colbert, but their predecessor was Johnny Carson. And when Johnny Carson died, he left millions to kill babies. Wow. Did you know that? Wow. And so you just need to understand, when you hear these guys on TV blasting President Trump or anybody who's conservative or Christian, you need to recognize them for what they are. Amen. And this guy is... people are trying to make him a hero, and he's given, this is just one donation, $25,000. It says that, of course, he's well known for his social justice advocacy. They should call it socialist advocacy. And they know that, you may or may not know that his name is Colin Kaepernick, and he was adopted. And he was raised by what seemed to be decent people who happen to be white, I believe, weren't they? I say that because he's making a thing about race, and he was raised by white people. And they raised him real good, took real good care of him. And it says at 19, Kaepernick's birth mother found herself pregnant and wanted to give her son the best life he could possibly have. So, Mr. Kaepernick, you nasty creep, you should be thankful your mother wasn't pro-choice or you'd be dead.
Yeah. Amen.
She wanted him to have adoptive parents who could provide him with love, a family, instill in him her love for sports. And so she found Rick and Teresa Kaepernick, who adopted Colin at 5 weeks old. And yet, despite the fact that Kaepernick's birth mother chose life for him, Kaepernick just donated $25,000 to a pro-abortion group. He took to Instagram to announce his latest charitable beneficiaries, which included the Center for Reproductive Rights. That's Orwellian newspeak for killing babies. It's a legal advocacy group dedicated to advancing baby murder. They responded by saying, that donation made their day. Well, that donation probably funded the murder of a lot of babies and ruined their day. Yeah. We can be thankful those murdered babies wake up in the presence of Jesus. Yeah. But Kaepernick has followed the deceit of this world. And it segues into our study in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And I'm just going to say this too while we're getting to study. As big a problem as people as Colin Kaepernick is, as big a problem are the gutless, spineless cowards in pulpits who will not address these things from the pulpit because they might have some liberal out there that gives money and that liberal might get up and leave. If you're a liberal, I don't think there's any in here, but if you're a liberal listening online or out there in TV land, wherever you're listening to this on BBF Ohio Radio, wherever it is, we would like to see you repent. Amen. We're not here to drive you off, but we're not going to bootlick you either. You're going to hear the truth. Amen. And if you will not repent, you're stiff-necked, rebellious, and damned. That's every liberal in the United States of America.
Amen.
And if you don't understand what I'm saying, a liberal, by definition, is a Christ-rejecting fool.
Amen.
You find a liberal who says, I'm a Christian. Ask them, do you believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God? And if they say yes to that, they don't define those words the way you do.
Yeah.
Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Most of them will admit they don't. Most of them will say, well, I believe he's the best way. Or, you know, that's what they'll say.
Yeah.
They're damned.
Amen.
So you need to have the spine to look at them and tell them that.
Amen.
You don't have to be nasty about it, but you need to tell them, listen, according to the Bible, you're going to stand at a great white throne and answer for the fact that you reject the Jesus of the Bible and the gospel. If your gospel says there's other ways than Jesus, you believe a false gospel.
Amen.
If your Jesus is a way and not the way, you got the wrong Jesus.
Amen.
Do you love people enough to tell them that?
Amen.
That's the problem today.
Yeah.
Get alongism. Well, Colossians 2, we're going to pick up in verse 4 and read through verse 8. Paul is concerned with these Colossian believers because they've got infected with get-alongism.
Yeah.
And so once you bow the knee to the world, you then will get infected with what we're going to read about in the book of Colossians. You get infected. It's a spiritual infection. So Paul's expressing his concern for believers who are falling into error, and he continues in our text today. So if you would, read the even numbers with me, beginning in verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And we ended chapter 1 with Paul's statement that we preach Jesus warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. I say that because I went out and looked around and I found that most of the gospel preaching ministries, when they counsel people on presenting the gospel, they totally leave out warning. You need to be saved so that Jesus can make you happy. You need to be saved so that you can have a more fulfilling life. No, that does happen. But you need to be saved because you're a sinner on your way to hell.
Amen.
Warn them, amen? Warning. And teaching every man in all wisdom. God's word picks up with the thought here in verse 4. And this I say, lest any what?
Amen.
Say it again, any what?
Amen.
Man should beguile you with enticing words. Don't fall for slick talk. And that's what's happening. I mean, you turn on the TV, ain't anybody going to get up here and be honest with you the way you're hearing this morning? There's all kinds of fundamental Bible-believing preachers all over the country who would never be able to afford a TV show. Why? Because they're not slick liars.
Amen.
Some of them can afford, like we do, a local radio program. And the Internet's made, you know, given us the ability to reach a lot of people for low cost. But the liberals in this country are trying to put an end to that. These devil-possessed liberals want to end your First Amendment right.
Yes.
Oh, they're fine with you in this little church building talking about your stuff. They're fine with you being in your home. But once you start to freely speak, they want to shut you down. And see, up until the Internet, they did that. They controlled ABC, NBC, CBS, and PBS was all we had when I was a little kid. And you never saw Christians on there unless they were able to afford the big price tag for putting their shows on. That wasn't originally, do you know this? Radio and TV was set up similar to the Internet. Originally, preachers and local churches were given free airtime.
Father Coughlin.
Yeah. Well, and Carl McIntyre and a bunch of those guys. B.R. Lakin, he covered the entire country on just a handful of radio stations that blasted his program all over the country. And what happened? Liberals choked it with regulations and things to kill the gospel ministry. So God played a little joke on them and came up with a thing called the Internet. Now Satan has most of it on his, you know, most of what's on the Internet is satanic.
Amen.
The biggest moneymaker is porn. But, just like in the real world, a remnant of believers on the Internet, a remnant of content is out there for anybody who wants to see it. And what are the liberals trying to do? Well, with Facebook and Google and their YouTube that they own and the Google searches and Twitter and the main sources of information on social media, Yahoo's in on it, they're all in on it, trying to totally shut down truth from Christians. And so what they want to put out there are the slick talk. The preachers and people who will talk slick and give you what you want to hear, they are giving them a platform and trying to shut people like us down. Little reality check is, why is that so difficult? Why is it so difficult for people to avoid slick talk? It's because in these times of apostasy, people eat up enticing words.
Yeah.
Listen, I love every one of you enough to tell you this. If you don't like what you're hearing this morning, you've got a little bit of Laodicea in you right now.
Amen.
If all you want to hear is this, that just sounds good to me. Oh, I want to hear something. You've got Laodicea. You're already being infected.
Yeah. Amen.
There are people over the last 30 years, I've seen it. I could see the beginnings of it, and when I'd warn them about it, they were stiff-necked, and they just continued to suck in all the enticing words from the apostates, and now they're useless.
Yep.
We're in the last days. Turn to 2 Timothy 4. Let's look at that. As they say in the real world, talk is cheap.
Amen,
let's go to God's Word and see what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And beginning in verse 1. I'll read verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now that's not fast people and slow people. That's quick meaning you're alive and dead meaning you're dead. So whether you're dead or alive, you're going to stand and be judged by Jesus Christ. Are you going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for believers, or are you going to be judged at the great white throne?
Amen.
Verse 2, Paul charges Timothy and all of those of us in the ministry to preach the word, be instant in season. That means when it's popular.
Amen.
Out of season when it's not popular. Right now I'm out of season.
Amen.
And I'm going to stay that way, I'm pretty sure.
Amen.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Jenny and I were talking about, you ever heard the term pop culture? It's a pop cult. And man, if you don't think this is a brainwashed society we have in this pop cult, look at their music. I'm not really up on what's hip and everything right now. Is that even a word they use now, hip? But, I don't even know it. But a few years ago, within recent history, most of you will follow this, there was this song. And I heard it on the radio and I was thinking, that's for real? That's the number one song? If I had written that song and I had come up here and started singing it, you all would have laughed me out of this place. You'd be like, you can't be real. That's not going to be a hit, preacher. Get a life. Get, you know, don't quit your day job.
Is it the Appleton song?
No, it's this. I don't know the words, so I'm going to make them up. Because I'm happy. I'm happy. That's true. But not much. And I am here to tell you, I'm gonna make some of you mad right now. If you like that song, you got one foot in a pop cult. There's something wrong with you. That song is pathetic. It is so queer and geeky. It's so, I mean, it's just beyond me that human beings heard that. Now, can I admit something? I caught myself singing it. I'm man enough to admit it. There's something wrong with me. Amen. Hey, I'm just being honest with you. All of us live in the pop cult to some extent. But step back and look at it sometime. I mean, just step back and think about it. And of course, one of the easy ways to do that, for this, like I was raised in the 80s. Okay, so go back and look at the old pictures. I mean, hair out the hair. I'm talking about the guys. You know, that's a fro. I'm talking about white boys who teased their hair out, sprayed it so they could look like that. Look at all the 80s metal bands and stuff. I mean, that's not even natural. But it was the thing, man. It was pop cult, pop culture. And that's what, so the struggle is to not get caught up into that, especially whenever it's something that goes against the Word of God. But Christians are caught up in it. What was once very clear and understood to be an abomination, now normal. The fact the kids are all, you know, having sex and you know, on the pill and everything, this is considered normal. And your 14-year-old comes out and announces he's gay. Well, you know, we still got to love him. Well, yeah, you love him enough to tell him, no, you're not gay, not in my house.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I won't get into all that, but that's just as an illustration. Verse 3. One, two, three, four, five. Read those first five words. For the time. Stop. You're there. For the time will come, you are there. We are there. When they will not endure sound doctrine. We're there. People will not endure sound doctrine now. Paul was saying the day will come, you're living it. But after their own lusts. Well, people get on to me sometimes. They say, you talk too much about sexual sins. Actually, if you listen to me teach, I don't think I talk about it near enough.
Amen.
Because if the world's addicted to sex, the preachers ought to be dealing with it.
Amen.
It's a sex-addicted culture.
Yes.
You can't sell French fries today without sex.
Yep.
Have some model going, I love my French fries. That's the way they sell stuff. It don't matter what it is. Sex addicted, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There you go. You want some French fries now, don't you? I made Stephen hungry. Bringing sexy French fries back. But look at it. They shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There you go. That's where we're living today. But what happens when they bring in the teachers and they pass churches? The old preacher goes, they bring in the slickster. What happens? Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the what? And shall be turned unto what? Boy, you don't know that's happened today. By contrast, Paul said, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 2, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul wasn't slick.
Amen.
Paul wasn't one of these ear ticklers or ear scratchers. Verse 5 then says, let's go back to it. I got to open my page there. Verse 5 says, for though I, referring to Paul, be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So he gives credit where it's due. These people have not totally fallen away, and some of them are still faithful. But he's addressing the encroachments. And folks, as a pastor, I have to do that. I have to deal with, and not the encroachments that were, 100 years ago, the encroachments that are here and now. You have to deal with those. That's why we do the current events updates on almost every Bible study. Any pastor that isn't addressing those things is not being a pastor.
Amen.
Read verses 6 and 7 with me. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It is what it is. You will either do this or suffer. What? Walk in Him. That means it's not just about going to church. It's about waking up every day to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Every day. Every day. Not boasting, I'm giving you some advice here. Every day, the first thing I do is get a cup of coffee and sit down with the Bible.
Amen.
Every day. Coffee so that I'll be able to comprehend what I'm reading. Because I don't wake up well. I'm not a morning person. If you don't need coffee, or if you want tea.
Amen.
Some of you wake up like Jenny. Okay, here's Jenny waking up. Yes. And then she has coffee. That's why I usually try to wake a couple hours after she does, so she's kind of run that down a little bit. And I have to say this because we lived together for a while, but Charlie's the same way, Olivia. Now, not under this schedule. This schedule's probably ruined that. But when he lived with us, Charlie and Jenny would be in the kitchen and it sounded, oh, Lord, I'm going out the back door. Couldn't get that thing open. Not that it gets under my skin or anything, as much as I'm not awake. I'd love to join you, but I'm not even here yet. So I get my coffee and I get my Bible, and you can start in the Psalms if you want to, or the Proverbs. It's good. You read one proverb a day, go through the Proverbs every month. What I do, I follow a calendar. We're actually going to put some over here to help in case some of you need it. And you go one psalm and one proverb, and then a couple of two or three chapters of the Bible every day. And you go through the whole Bible. Now, you can follow one, two, or three year, three times a year, whatever you can do. But that's the start. Some people like to wake up with prayer, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't pray when I first wake up because I don't like to, I don't believe in sleep talking. And so if I were to pray immediately when I woke up, it wouldn't be a good time of prayer. I pray a little later. But that's what it means. And then through your day, even as you're in school or at work or whatever, you have your mind fixed on the Lord. And so that'll help clean up your thoughts, clean up your jokes, and clean up your discussions. Walk ye in Him. You're only going to do that if you follow verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. And you're only going to get that through the Word, through the prayer, and yes, even attending Bible studies at church. Part of it. But I love this last phrase, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. That's where I say a lot of times it's backwards to this. When they start to fall, it's because they lose the thanksgiving. They start taking things for granted. No longer thankful for what they've got. They just take it for granted. It's like it's supposed to be there. No, through history, if you were born in most other periods of time and even other parts of the country now, what you would have to do is hide. Hide your Bible.
Yep.
Couldn't go to church on Sunday morning, Wednesday night. You'd have to meet whenever you could. Usually on groups of three or four people. You couldn't sing out loud. There are places where this is how they do their singing. They sing Amazing Grace. And for those of you not watching the video or not looking at me or blind, I was mouthing the words.
Yeah. Amen.
They can't sing out loud.
Yep.
If the neighbors heard them, the neighbors would turn them in. Bible. They can't walk around with their Bible. Gospel tracts. They can't hand out gospel tracts. What they do is they try to talk to people, and if it looks interested, then they risk it and talk to them about the Lord. The Christians in America totally are taking that for granted. So once you learn or lose that heart of thanksgiving, you're on the road. Again, not asking for a raise of hands. I'm just telling you this morning. If you're here this morning and not thinking, this is great, you're already taking steps in the wrong road. You look around, a lot of us are crazy and all that. But you should be thankful you've got other believers for us to hang around with. Our family, we get together and we'll talk about some of the crazy lunacy we see around here. And like, man, it's great we can go to a place where they're crazy.